Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you?
Oh, I'm just doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. You ready for the day of eating a lot of turkey and food?
Yeah. Well, we're getting there. But I'm excited.
Nice. Like I said, we were talking earlier before we were recording. I'm like, oh, it should be a short episode. There's not much to talk about. We found a few more things to talk about than we thought after we started going through what had actually come through. So yeah. Let's kind of get into it. First off, we're going PGA Tour. We usually say PGA Tour for last. Mm-hmm. We're going to go Adam Svensson, Canadian, gets his first PGA Tour victory at the RSM Classic with a bogey-free final round. But in doing my research, that wasn't an uncommon feat. I think like six or seven guys in the top 10 went bogey-free. And I think of the top 10, and I think there was like four or five guys tied it for 10. So like 14 guys, only two made more than one bogey.
Yeah.
In their final round. So it was not playing hard for most guys, right? At least not a lot of bogeys, right? May not have been a ton of birdies. Svensson, I think, shoots a bogey-free 64, which six under. So very shy. But Englishman Colin Terran also had a bogey-free 64. So it was out there.
Yeah, that's one of those courses where as long as you're pretty accurate off the tee, you can go really low out there.
Yeah, and I think it can get windy at times. But yeah, it's just out there. Like I said, you may not, although just because it's a par 70, so it's not going to be, the scores aren't going to be ultra low as far as an under par standpoint. But I mean, 19 under par on a par 70 through four rounds is pretty deep, right? If this is a par 72, all of a sudden you add eight shots to that, and that's that's 27 under. So
yeah, it's like breaking PGA Tour scoring record on four rounds, no doubt. And yeah, I mean, it's not an easy golf course, which is, it's still hard to play good golf out there, but they play exceptional golf. The reason that why I think this title is so fun is because you get such a diverse winners year over year. It's never like the same guy. The only guy that really locked up this tournament was Davis Love III.
Yes.
And after that, it's been a free ball game for everybody.
Well, last year, Brian Harman, just one second. He was T second. Why didn't it? I went to past winners and it should have just given me the winners. I don't want to go through like Taylor Gooch wins last year.
Yep.
Did Taylor Gooch go back to back? Straub won in 2021. It didn't switch over. How about that? Yeah, Straub won in 2021.
Yep, Straub in 2020. Tyler Duncan 2019. Charles Howell 2018. Austin Cook 2017. Mackenzie Hughes 2016. Kisner 2015. Straub. Ooh, 2014. So he's the two-time winner in the past decade.
Tyler Duncan won in 2020. It's changing over really bad. Charles Howell in 2019.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very like, yeah, not a ton of like, usually in somewhere like this, you're going to be like, oh, there's some repeats.
Yeah. This one stays pretty diverse, which is cool. But yeah, it's fun. Fun little tournament. Nice area out there in the east.
There's a blast from 2020. Guess who was, or 2012. Tommy Gainey. Two Gloves. Tommy Two Gloves.
The guy cracked me up. And you know, even watching him on the biggest break or whatever, I really didn't think he had the game for it, but he did.
He did. Well, he had game.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit too much, but game.
Yeah.
Right, we won't go into his exploits, extracurricular activities.
Two gloves for a reason.
Yes. All I know. Safety first. Sorry. Oh, bad one. Bad one. But yeah, it's like I said, it gives guys that aren't necessarily top players an opportunity to get out there and get a win.
And probably the reason is, you know, a lot of the big guys don't play in it.
Nope.
And I'd say that,
well, Tony was supposed to play this week, but he bounced.
Yeah, well, I'd say
last week he was like, okay, I'm out.
Most of the big guys are really long, like a JT, yes, or a Rory or a Finau or whatever. They're just really long, and this golf course doesn't set up well for guys that are long. Just doesn't.
Yeah, so, if you like look at it, it's not a list of bombers.
No,
they get it done here. It's so, you get it in the fairway, and then you just get it on the green and make some putts. Don't make huge mistakes. But yeah, so there's that. So he gets that. Then we go across the pond to the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, yes, for the DP World Tour Championship.
Yes.
And Mr. John Rahm gets it done there. And John came under a little bit of fire because they changed the way they calculated points for the official world golf rankings. And he said that it's a joke now, basically.
And he wasn't wrong.
No. He's like, you're playing in a tournament like this. And this was up for a debate with some people. It's like, well, so I think it was, they got 32 points or 27 points or something. And whoever won the RSM got like 39. Right? Because so in this one, there was seven of the top 25 in the world.
Uh-huh.
But it was a 50-person field because it was their tour championship. The RSM didn't have anybody from the top 25 in the world rankings, but they had like 70 guys in the top 125. So they're like, well, now it's more about how many you have, not the quality of those players. And it was a podcast, but they're like, what would be easier to win? To beat 144 guys or whatever it was, whatever their field was, that many players and nobody in the top 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 49 players with seven will be in the top 25.
Well, and,
I mean, obviously,
yeah,
the tour's deep. Anybody can go low, but if you're like, okay, if I'm going to get in there and have my best chance, wouldn't you want it against guys that aren't notorious as the best players in the world, right? There's a reason they're the top 25 in the world, right? Best players play the best most of the time.
Yeah, I just to win the DP World Tour, that particular tournament, you needed to be a great player to win it.
Right.
But not be a great player to get in the top 10.
No, because what did they end up with?
So if you shot 10 under or better, you were in the top 10. But the winner was at 20. So
yeah, Rom runs away with it. But if you look at the guys in that top 10, right? John Rahm,
yep.
Terrell Hatton, yep. Alex Noren, Rory McIlroy, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, who's a, and then you get into a couple, right? Ramos, Højgaard,
yeah,
Merrick, Adrian. So then you get, oh, yeah.
Pretty much everybody that was noteworthy was in the top 10, with the exception of like two guys, which was like Hovland,
Lowry,
and Lowry.
Yes.
And that, but they were still in the top 23, right? And they just ate some bad tacos. So if you were really going to take it, you had to beat, you know, five of the top 25. Yes. Although on the RSM, you didn't have any of the elite players. You just had to beat the guy that got hot. And somebody got hotter than the rest. And so it was, you know, that's really what it came down to. And they tore it up out there for sure. But the fact that it is a bigger field with more potential players to get hot, that does make it a more viable difficulty, or I would assume.
Yes.
Because it's bigger pool. But
I don't know.
It's hard. It's hard.
I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, how do you break that down? It's like, okay, how do you weight a top player or five of the top 25 playing worth none of the top 25?
Yeah. Well, and then if you look at the RSM, like the winner was at 19 under. If you're within 10 strokes at the RSM, you actually were tied for 39th. So think about how congested that leaderboard is, versus here, where when you're in within 10 strokes, you're in the top 10, but then you're 10 shots clear of first place. That's a pretty big gap right at the top. And rightfully so, you've got the best players in the world doing it. You know, John Rahm and Rory McIlroy and Terrell Hatton and Fleetwood. And he's just hot right now. So it's like, got some great golfers there. But yeah, the field out there, there's still good names out there. They just weren't the biggest names.
Right. And it looks like he got, so he got 21.8 points. Sorry, my numbers were wrong. He got 21.8 points. And Adam Svensson got just over 37 points.
Yeah.
So is it, so if you look at that as a percentage, I don't know, you're the numbers guy that could pull them up much faster than I can. What is the percentage of that? What is the percentage different? That's, I mean, that's close to double points. Is it that much more difficult to win against a bigger field? Like, to have that big of a disparity when you have seven of the six or seven of the top 25 in the world? I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I still think the DP World Tour was harder to win versus the RSM, but the RSM still had a much more tightly contested tournament.
Yes.
And that's just the best way I can put it.
Yeah. Like I said,
to beat John Rahm, you've got to be top five in the world. This is the bottom line. You're not getting past him. But over there, you know, if you put the top 10 golfers at the RSM Classic, one of those top 10 wins.
There's a good chance of it. Yeah. There is a good chance of it. So I don't know. It is what it is, but congrats to him. And then because based on Rory's top five finish to a solo fourth and Ryan Fox, a 19th finish, he ended up, let's see. So he only got 147.6 points and Rory got 600 points. So based on that, I think that put him, how much was he ahead? So he was about 600 points ahead anyway. So it just sealed the deal. Ryan Fox would have had to have had a top three to win, but you look at the tournaments that these guys play, right? Rory McIlroy tops the points list. The DP World Tour gets his whatever scepter or whatever they get for winning the points list. He didn't win a tournament over on the DP World Tour. Ryan Fox wins too. So this is their list of going through the top 10, right? Ryan Fox has two wins, a fourth place or 4 second place finishes, one third, and three top 10s. Rory has 0 wins, 2 seconds, two thirds, and five top 10 and wins. Only plays in, so nine of the 10 tournaments he plays in, he gets a top 10. Right. Four of those are obviously that count for this are, I think all the majors end up counting for this. So it's like there's something severely flawed when you can play 10 tournaments and Ryan Fox plays in 24 and has two wins and gets beat. You have John Rahm, who won twice, only played nine events, but won twice.
Ryan Fox didn't qualify for any majors.
Oh, he did. I think he played in all of them,
I'm just
actually.
teasing, but
But then you get Matt Fitzpatrick, who has one win. That one win is the US
yes.
Open. And he's in third. He only plays 11 events. And then Tommy Fleetwood, who kind of fell off, played in 14 events, but gets one win last week and ends up in the top five. So it's like these guys that aren't even playing a full or cherry picking events and then winning the overall money title. Can you imagine if somebody did that on the PGA Tour?
Oh.
Like they didn't have, but they got into enough events and they ended up winning the overall FedEx Cup points list.
Well, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like Tiger winning the PIP, or it's like DJ
Yes.
coming back from LIV because he qualified, plays good in the majors, gets enough points, and then just barely qualifies, and he doesn't, then he takes the whole title and then he leaves. He'll be so pissed.
Yeah. But like I said, yeah. Well, we know that they won't let that happen because he won't qualify. Even if he won every single major, he should qualify, right? If he won four majors, based on that, he should qualify for the playoffs and the tour championship, right?
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
that it's not going to happen, but
Well,
I mean,
and then
there's
winning
a chance he could win them all, but I mean, there is.
technically, if you win a major, there is exemption on the PGA Tour for that win. So that's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's going to
And
be going
TJ's the
forward.
guy that could do it. Oh my gosh, I would love to see that and be like, "Hey,
Cam Smith, yeah.
where's
Well,
my
Kip.
tour card for 10 years? You got it?
Yeah.
Okay."
Yeah. It's funny. But Rory, so yeah, that's just, I mean, it's the DP World Tour is the PGA Tour's redheaded stepchild that they like to beat around a little bit. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest with that.
Well, I mean, look at it.
Yeah.
It's the tour championship, And 10 of the last 50 players were over par.
Not a good look. Not a good look.
One of and the guy that got last place, he was 30 strokes out of first place.
Yeah. I said, not a good look.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Let's move over to the ladies. Lydia Ko wins the CME Group Tour Championship to then take Player of the Year honors as well for the year. She putts the ball so good. I was in Florida, so I was, in between rounds. There's not a ton to do, so flipping back and forth between some golf and some football and in between rounds, but kind of just stays hot. And I don't think they, they do their statistics. So no, they don't. They really don't.
No stats for you.
Not good enough, right? She has, but if you go through her rounds, just look at it. She goes 13 to 14 green or fairways round one. So she misses three fairways all week. Average driving distance 270 for the week, 286 in round four, which was her top. Putts per round, she averaged 27 putts over the four rounds, nothing over 30, 27, 25, 28, 29. And hits averages about 12 and a half greens, 12 and a half greens. So hit the ball really well. Obviously, putts lights out. Then hangs on and gets the win and the biggest check in women's history of 2 million. Leona Maguire, who was second by two shots. So what it when the I mean, I know it's skewed a little bit for the tour championship, but it's not as big of a difference as going 2 million to 550 for second place. And then by the time you're T10, you're at 83,500. So it's a severe drop off. So I think it's great that they're having bigger first place prizes. But I mean, if I'm the tour, I would want that to spread out a little bit more down the line.
Oh, totally.
I mean, you're like, oh yeah, great. If you win, you're doing great. But I mean, obviously 550, nothing to sneeze at. But if you're on tour right now, if you have tour status, you're guaranteed that for the year.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're guaranteeing you that. They'll make that up. I mean, so good, bad, but yeah, Lydia Ko, I don't know what she's ranked now. She's probably moved up. She kind of fell off for a little bit, but now, number two. Now she's two, ranked two in the world behind Nelly Korda. So she's climbing significantly. But yeah, she wins the race to the CME Globe with 4.3. So she won half of her winnings, basically, with this win.
Yeah.
So,
That's good that everybody's making more money. I mean,
yeah, they have to.
it's nice to see. It's not the same because
Because,
the product's not the same, but it's still cool.
yeah, so they're going through that, and they have to too, because there's rumors are floating that the LIV is going to do a ladies tour. There's rumors,
Interesting.
but you know how many would jump if that happened?
All of them.
All of them. Every
Yeah.
single one.
They could just absolutely torpedo the LPGA Tour in 2 seconds.
Yep. They would all be gone.
But you know what the LPGA Tour would do? The commissioner would go, "Hey, this is a cool opportunity to partner with you guys.
Yep.
Let's make this
Well,
great."
they already have the Aramco team championship, right? Which draws for the most part. The last one, they didn't have nearly as many of the top players because they, my guess is they didn't want to travel over to Saudi and then come back the next week for the tour championship. If it would have been held 2 weeks earlier, they just like the time before, they would have all been over there trying to divide for that title and that cash.
Yeah.
But speaking of cash, how much would you pay for a dozen balls?
Max
Max
$50.
50 bucks, which is what the Titleist Pro V1 left tots did retail for.
Ooh.
48. It depends. They're 48 to 60, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
But 50 bucks. They are now going right now. They did a story on it because it's a big thing. The Titleist Pro V1 left dot right now is going for $170 a dozen.
That don't make
And
sense.
it doesn't. And they were at one point at $210 per dozen.
Yeah,
Just
that.
a it's just a supply demand thing, right? They released them a little bit for a little bit last year and they sold out quickly.
Yeah.
But as we were talking earlier, it's a low launch, high spin ball. So it's not a great fit for a lot of players,
No, not at
right?
all. I mean, the only guys that are really going to take advantage of it are super high speed players.
Yeah.
And when I say high speed, I mean like 180 ball speed guys.
Which is why it's the ball of choice of one Tony Finau,
Yeah.
right? It
Yeah.
was, and that's what the title of the article was. Tony Finau's ball re or $170 a dozen or
And
whatever it was.
I mean that anything that's rare is going to have an increased price tag. And the
Yeah.
reality is some of these guys, like if you went through the list, it'd be like, oh, this guy only plays the 2020 Pro V1X.
Yeah.
And this guy plays the 2021 Pro V1X right dot or plus. And so there's all kinds of variations from different years that go out there. And I'd say at any given tournament, you've got a minimum of 10 different Pro V1 models being played,
Been
not
played.
two, like 10.
Yeah.
Oh,
Because they
yeah.
got the left dash, left dot, right dot,
Yeah.
plus. Just the normal one and X, but then you've got some guys for a long time played the 2019,
Yeah.
like because they didn't like the way the 2020 or 2021,
It's for
whatever.
real. Like, so yeah, it's pretty wild, but and they're all rare, but I can guarantee you right now, you drop on 170 bucks on golf balls, does not make them any less likely to get lost in the reeds.
No, you probably shouldn't do that. Just go with, if you really want that, right? Just play the X. Just play the Pro V1, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to need that ball that spins more.
And are you consistent enough to know that your window changes on an 8 iron when you've hit a Pro V1X right dot or left dot versus a Pro V1 or a Pro V1X? Like there are changes, there are variations
Yes.
by feet, right? We're not talking
Yes.
yards, we're talking feet.
Feet.
And
Very
that means
small.
something to some of them when you're looking for certain windows and certain deliveries when it's your job, but when you're going out and playing with your buds,
Yeah.
any good tour ball is gonna do you well.
Exactly. So, yeah, I would not. There's no chance. I'll find another ball that's similar, right? And even for me, like I'll sacrifice some things for a fill around the green. So
Oh
it's more about that than anything for me. Speaking of majors,
yes, the next major.
the next major, the upcoming major, changes to one of the most iconic holes at Augusta National, 13.
Yeah, number
Pushed it
13.
back.
Fun fact, let's see if you can get this right.
No.
Which Utah golfer has the record at Augusta National for the highest score on the 13th hole?
What Utah golfer on the 13th hole?
Has recorded the highest score at the Masters during tournament play?
So I'm just thinking of everybody that has played at the Masters from Utah. I'm just trying to, because I don't know that, going through it in my head, I don't know that Dan Forsman ever played. Did he ever play a Masters?
Oh yeah, he played quite a few.
Did he?
As a five-time winner.
Oh yeah, he won quite a bit. Mike Reed, pretty sure played. I think Danny's only played one, if he even played one. I know there for the longest time. I think he finally did qualify for a Masters. Billy Casper? No. That's a fact. That is a like off the wall fact that I would not know
And when I say it, you'd be like, wow, really?
that.
That would be Clay Ogden.
Oh, that was actually going to be my next guess. Did he make like a 10?
It was worse. I think it was
It
a
was worse. It was the 13.
13. Oh, hold on. I've got a match here. Oh, wait. So he does. Maybe it was close. So maybe I got my numbers wrong. Number nine, the par four, he is tied for the highest score, which is an eight. Yeah. I thought he had it on 13, but maybe somebody beat him out since then. Let me take a look.
On that, I was just, because I'm thinking about like it, just knowing nine's not, I mean, the greens can get a little nasty, but
Yeah.
well,
Pretty crazy. I
know,
think you got close.
if you're gonna play it once, you may as well hold some kind of record, right? Not, and
Right.
that's not one that somebody's gonna want to win, gonna want to beat either, so. Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, they lengthened 13, and the pitchers are crazy, right? Because they purchased land behind it because they didn't own the land behind it. So they were able to acquire land behind the 13th hole
Yeah.
to push it back. How far did they push it back again? Pushed it back. Oh, they don't tell you how far it's back.
No, there's no number on it yet, but it is longer,
Yeah, they're
making that
saying
hole.
possibly 40 to 50 yards longer. But now it's just not a, it's not a like 90% of the time you're going for it full. if they push it all the way back, 50 yards is gonna, yeah, you're gonna have to hit that to that layup spot and hit a short iron in.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be a harder hole, but you know, they probably changed it because of Bryson.
No. I remember was that no, that was 15 that I think that DJ was just like, all right, I'm just gonna just absolutely high cut over those trees on 15.
Yeah.
He just took a line that nobody else, because of how high he could hit the ball when he wanted to. He was just like, yep, we're going there. just crazy. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays this year. It'll get it back to, my guess is more how the hole was intended to be played. If you're going to hit this green in two, it's with a long iron fairway wood and trying to hold that green, right? Or you're laying it up to have a short iron in. So
yeah,
it will be interesting. Oh, we're going to talk about Tiger twice in this episode.
He gets his
not for his playing. We'll talk plenty about him because he's going to be playing a lot in December, I guess, from what the rumors have it. But 2010 Masters signed Tiger's red polo. But what is it not that you are not? It's, this wouldn't even interest you, even if you could afford to purchase this. You said it wouldn't interest you because it's not what?
It's not a mock turtleneck.
it's not the mock neck.
Yes, the red polo is iconic, but when Tiger goes mock turtleneck, it's like Tiger mode. And so I thought that was,
he's one of the only people that should ever wear a mock neck, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's up for auction. We'll give you updates because whenever it sells,
I'm sure
it'll be front page golf news.
Well, it's interesting because I mean, Tiger signed it, he dated it, it's legit.
Yeah.
And he did wear it on a Sunday, and it's red, of course. It's 2010 Masters, but he didn't win the 2010 Masters. So that's, you know, probably a shirt hanging in his closet or something.
Yeah.
Like, he has 70, or what is it, 80, 82 red shirts or something.
Yeah. He's got it. Like, does it, he obviously, if it's from that Masters, he at least for the Masters, he probably just puts that one in the closet. He probably has, I mean, knowing him, they're probably labeled in his closet.
Yeah.
Or wherever he stores them.
He didn't, but, well, who knows? Yeah. But it'll go up. Some people are saying, well, this is like a Jordan jersey, or, you know, he actually played in it. And, and the Masters would be like
game
playoff,
one.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's like, there's something special to you having, like, do you want a Masters flag signed by Tiger Woods in 2020, or do you want a Masters flag signed by Tiger Woods in 2019? You want 2019 because that's when he won it. So it's like, so it's kind of like that. It's like you got Karl Malone's jersey from the finals, but he lost to the Bulls.
Yeah. Good job. but there's no comparison because there's not a Karl Malone jersey that is from a championship, sad to say. But yes, if it was 2019, yeah, my guess is it would triple in value.
Oh, absolutely.
From what this one's going to go for. But you know who's not hurting for money? And just made $15 million. And he did not tee it in one official PGA Tour event.
No. In fact,
Mr. Eldrick Woods wins the PGA Tour PIP once again at 15 million, which was nearly double what he won for winning it last year.
yeah, I kind
And
of
they
find that.
added 10 more spots to now 20 players, with Victor Hovland taking that last spot. Well, actually, 16 through 20 got $2 million.
Yeah.
And there was a gentleman on there on this list that made more, well, two people on this list made more the PIP than they did playing golf this year. First one is Tiger Woods, and second one is Ricky Fowler, who made 2 million in the tour PIP.
Good for him.
But the tour's just throwing cash right now. 60 million more than last year. 100 million this year, 40 million last year. 60 million. They just keep finding bags of cash.
Right
Like,
out of mattresses, really.
yeah, it's weird. It's just, when you're playing video games and all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's a bag of cash. That's what they're doing right now. They're just finding cash everywhere.
Didn't exist
Amazing.
before.
Yeah, that didn't exist before, right? So you're welcome, everybody on the PGA Tour, courtesy of LIV Golf. Whether you like LIV or whether you're a fan of LIV or not, it got these guys paid.
Millions, millions.
Yes, millions more.
Yeah, like Max Homa just got $3 million for
Yeah.
being a social media guy. And that, like, Adam Scott got $2 million.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's like these guys can't be sad,
No.
what's happened. They probably are writing handwritten notes to Phil and be like, thanks, bro.
Yeah. Thanks.
Because honestly, the PIP really didn't come about until Phil started squawking. Like, guys, we're worth more than this.
Yes.
And
We drive the game.
and I think it was pretty controversial who won the first one, because
Yes.
it was like, did he win? Did he not win? Did they change the results? So that is really sketch.
It was very sketch because there was rumors that Phil won, but then there was his whole, because that was right about when the live stuff started coming up, right? And
Yeah,
they're
it
like,
was.
oh, we're gonna get no Tiger won. Yay.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was really strange. But bottom line is it really came about because of that. And
And like I said,
was.
I don't mind it. Like I said, top players should be compensated more, right?
Yeah.
Every sport compensates the best players
Yeah.
more, regardless, right? They've earned that without even teeing it up,
Yep.
i.e., Tiger, right? He's earned his position where he's at, right? It We always talk about, well, they gotta earn it, right? The PGA Tour is different because they've got to earn it, but it's like, but should it be, right? Shouldn't those top guys get compensated more just because they're the top guys?
Yeah,
Right? Even if you earn more, right, as a bonus structure because of playing, I don't know, which is more what they're working towards,
yeah.
So,
And we both know that players were paid behind the scenes.
yeah,
There was no
well,
secret.
yeah, they're saying, oh, no, because as soon as that came out from Bubba Watson, it's been pretty hush. There's not been the funny thing, what's never come out from anybody at the top of the PGA Tour? A statement saying that that didn't happen. I
Yeah.
don't think I've seen anything come out that said, nope, People were not getting paid under the table by sponsors.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? Because you know why? Because then when the books get opened in this antitrust lawsuit and it comes out that that's happening, right? Even though it's supposed to be like
Earned.
get earned and that's supposed to be not allowed. Illegal sounds weird and incorrect.
Yeah, it
Not
just.
allowed on the PGA Tour. But
Yeah.
yeah, good for these guys. Get your bags of cash and send a note to Phil. And whether you like Greg or not, send him a note too.
Yep.
Because he got you paid. He did. Right? No matter what you think.
He
So
got a lot of heat, but yeah.
he got it paid. All right, let's do some just a quick run through bags if anything stands
Yeah.
out. Adam Svensson, Callaway guy, top to bottom.
Yeah, so all the way Callaway. So there's nothing much other to mention. Like he's probably got some of the coolest blades in there, the Callaway Apex MBs.
Yep.
Those are hot. I mean, they're one to me one of the best looking blades at address. But I'd say something that stands out, his driver shaft. He's got the Callaway Rogue ST Triple Diamond S, no surprise. But he's got an LA Golf prototype in there.
Type. And he's, I think, other than trying to think if anybody, there's nobody been this year since we've been doing our, that we've done our What's in the Bag this year that has had an LA Golf
Nope.
shaft in their thing. Because I think the
Oh,
last person
it's
to
been like,
win with one was Bryson.
yeah, it's been like 27 consecutive wins for Ventus and then the LA
Seems
Golf prototype.
like it, right?
Yeah, but it
But
really, really is pretty cool to see some new product slip into the winner's circle
yeah.
there. I'd say the only other thing that maybe sticks out,
No.
nothing really.
Yeah, he's got the Triple Diamond S driver, which is just the tour issue.
Yeah.
Triple Diamond in the driver. But yeah, you go through it and pretty stock.
Pretty ho-hum stuff. We got Lydia Ko,
Yep.
who won, and
He was a PhD staffer until this year, but she looks like she's going pretty hard. I don't think she's has an official contract with anyone, but it sure looks like she's got one with Titleist. And she's got the TSR3 Fairway Wood
top to bottom through the
top to
back.
bottom, which is it was kind of it's kind of surprising to see her in a 9-degree driver, considering there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of the dudes on tour that are going with the higher lofted thing, even though they might turn it down a little bit. But there's some guys that'll go with that, you know, that 10, 10 and a half. And even Svensson's is a 10 and a half, just turned down to a 9.5. And so, you know, maybe Lydia Ko's is turned up to something, and it's just we don't get the in-depth what's in the bag for the ladies. But yeah, that she goes through, and then she throws in a Ping G425 hybrid. Other than that, she goes the T200 there, and her five and six, she goes the Proto Concept C05 shafts. Trying to remember who those are from.
Aerotech, are those old school?
Are those Aerotechs? Why am I drawing a blank? It might be because she does play the Aerotech in her thing, and I was just looking at it and I'm like, I'm just drawing a blank on
Yeah, she's got Aerotech in her irons and wedges.
Yeah, she's got that. Let's see.
Good putter of the golf ball, though.
Yes, with her.
Lydia Ko, within a
Oh. I don't know. I have no idea what shaft that is.
all good.
Nope, because all I'm getting is an actual iron proto concept golf. C07. Oh, my guess is it is an AeroTech ish shaft in her 5 and 6 because she goes with that 5 and 6. And then she's got the Scotty Cameron GSS, but
Yeah,
it's the black.
this one's pretty unique. So it's a darker putter. She's got a darker finish on it. It's center shafted, specifically made for her in that regard. It most people considered it to be like a Golo head, but it's not. It's more of a I want to say it's more of a Del Mar center shafted head. It just the way the bumpers are on it, but it's tough to say. There's maybe it's the yeah, it's more of a fastback head. The fastback 1.5, that's the one it most resembles. And it's a GSS, and yeah, she was rolling the rock. So
Yeah, I mean it does look very similar because it's got the lines. You've got that mallet shape with the line, and then the almost like the T line in the
yep.
back edge, which is very similar to the Golo. But I think just a little, maybe not as the depth from face to back is probably not as deep. From just the pictures that I'm seeing on it. But I don't know, not a ton of pictures, you think, right? It's just, yeah, fairly well-known women's player. You'd think you'd get a few more pictures of it, but nope. I think we can only find one really good one.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to find. I did find a couple, and yeah, it's pretty unique. Not like the one I had found previously. I'll drop that in the notes so you can see what it really is. But yeah, it's not a Golo. It's definitely a 1.5. But no, pretty cool. I love seeing those custom Scotties out there.
Yeah, makes it fun for sure.
Then we're jumping to Jon Rahm.
Done
What's
wrong.
in the bag? He's stellar, winning the DP World Tour. Obviously Callaway top to bottom for this guy. I think the coolest thing, which you had an opportunity to see firsthand, were the triple diamond tee fairway woods. So yeah, give me some insight in seeing that.
They need. They need, well, I don't care if anybody else, I need access to these. I don't care if the general public does or not. But yeah, I would love to get my hands on these. What it's the night, it's very reminiscent of an older school Titleist. Fairway wood.
Yeah.
And we're exchanging pictures. You sent the picture in of it. And it's way more rounded in the sole. It's almost it if to explain it a little bit, like the Cobra Baffler, where it has that goes way
Yeah.
way more exaggerated into that sole, right?
Yeah.
So Not a lot of flatness on the bottom of that fairway
Pretty
wood.
sure the official terminology would be camber.
Chamber, yes.
How much does the sole of the club slope from heel to toe?
Toe,
And if you
yes.
have a lot of camber, it's like an upside down rainbow.
Yes.
And this particular fairway wood is definitely that. In fact, it's the most severe of it. And there's some cool history behind it. And so we'll talk about history and talk about its effectiveness. This was designed by Phil Mickelson, and he had the same input to Titleist when they came out the 980F long time ago. But that particular fairway wood has very similar characteristics in regards to the camber on the sole. And so this one is even a little bit more aggressive in the tee. And what it allows you to do is it gives you a shape that you can pick the ball with, but still hit it flush. You don't have a big sole on the bottom hitting the turf. You've got just a small section of it, but still catching it flush. And it's exceptionally good at hitting out of the rough, like really good, because there's less sole to get grabbed into that rough. And you've got just this almost hybrid iron style fairway wood that's going to cut right through and get to it. So it's really effective out of that. And honestly, that's probably why it's in most of the Callaway staff's players' bags. Like
Oh,
they've got tees all over the place. Tony Finau's playing it. And so it's leaking into players that have options. And so no doubt he's got the 3 wood and the 5 wood in it. Pretty spectacular.
and
He's
it's
still
just
playing.
like a super easy, like I said, because this weekend, last weekend in Florida, one of the guys that actually, so the my buddy who I was caddying with. And then our other friend who was rooming with us, he was the one that had the fairway woods, and like I hit the 5 wood and I'm like, yeah, need, not just a want, that's a need. Right? It is hard to describe because it's a really easy club for a good player to hit.
Yep.
Right, which is why it's not available to the general public because it's not, I don't think it's an easy club for everyone to hit because
No.
of the camber.
And you got to be careful, like when you have a sharp edge like that on a fairway wood, there is no like sweeping this. And I would say most amateur golfers are sweepers when it comes to fairway woods. This is a fairway wood you need to attack. And so whether you're going to attack it with a slightly negative angle of attack, or you're really going to attack it with a large angle of attack, you still have to come at the ball. And you can't just try and sweep it because there is no soul there to help you.
It's really good.
It's good. It's good.
It's really good.
Yeah. If you have good mechanics through impact, it's really, really good. And then, yeah,
And
he, I think the other thing that stands out in his bag, he's still playing the Odyssey Rossi S with no lines. Which is pretty cool. It's a really clean looking mallet, and I know a lot of people have liked it. I think they even offer it now.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
They came out with it this in their new offerings. They have the John Rahm putter. I was over at Glenmore, a local course here. Working with one of my students, and the Callaway guy was there, and they were showing the putters. I'm like, oh, it's the John Rahm putter.
Yeah, it sticks out like sore thumb. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I love that. I love it when companies offer the tour version, right? Like to me, that just makes so much sense. It's what guys want. Why not just give it to them?
And stuff like that, yes, it is. It should be offered, right? At least the putter, right? That one's an easy one. for you to throw in there and be like, oh, it's the exact putter that so and so has. I mean, some of these guys you can't, because it's, I don't want to say a Frankenstein, because Frankenstein is not the right word for like some of the Circle T's and the Scotties that are out there. It's a one-off, right? A lot of these guys are one-off, so they're not going to produce them.
Yeah.
And, you know, or they will, like the JT. It was, all right, the JT's is so popular with how they did it, so we're going to do the X 5.5. I think so, that's what it was his, the JT 5.5.
Yeah.
That he was doing, so.
Yeah, and how cool would it be to have like John Rahm's signature on the bottom, just engraved, knowing that it's one of these kind of more rare signature models. I just think it's awesome. Titleist recently gave Webb Simpson a custom set of irons, and they're called the 682.WS.
Yes.
And, you know, people love that stuff. I think the last, this will be embarrassing for the golf community, the last three signature irons ever produced by any golf company, most recently, was the Grindworks Patrick Reed's. Okay, so there's one.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was the Tiger Woods P7TWs.
But when you first got those out, the signatures, they only came in Tiger Woods specs.
Yeah.
Right, they didn't come in basic specs. It was only the Tiger Woods specs.
Yeah. And then before that, the last time, obviously, it was Nike with the TW logo 2010s.
Yes.
And the curved muscle in the back. And I think before that, it would have been the Cobra McGregors. And it really is. They had Don White grind them, the Cobra signature Greg Norman McGregors. And like, that's a pretty long gap there where it's just Greg, then Tiger, and then Patrick Reed off of some like random, but it's very rare. But like, for me, I'm like, dude, if you just came out with JT irons, like, that's cool. Like, I'd kind of want that. Whatever. Yeah. So
you're just doing one offs, right? You got Mira doing some for Adam Scott and for
Jack Nicklaus,
for Justin Rose, and then you got Titleist doing the WSs.
Yeah, which Justin Rose did switch out of his bag. He played the Miras for one tournament, and then he went back to the P730s at the RSM.
Yeah, he's in search though, so
yeah,
he's in search mode. But yeah, pretty cool stuff. This was kind of like championship season. I have no idea what's coming up. DP World Tour has something like quick turnaround.
The best tournament of the field. Strongest field, smallest field, and still gets world ranking points. Just FYI.
Is that this week?
That's this week.
Is the Hero this week?
Yes, it is. No. Well, maybe not this week, but it's the next tournament.
Next tournament. That makes sense. I was like, what?
The next, it's December 1. So everybody gets Thanksgiving off, and then they get to watch the Hero.
The Hero.
And do you think, did they invite, Victor Hovland will be back. I'm just wondering if there are any players in the live that were re-invited.
So, no.
Nope.
So, it looks like they filled the rest of the field with Kevin Kisner and Tommy Fleetwood were the two that they added.
Yeah.
After you knew Tiger was going to be there as one of the three, right? Yeah. But no, they can't, right? Tiger's been so outspoken against the live. He's not. Yeah, there's no chance of it. But yeah, it'll be interesting. The only other thing from that is Xander Schauffele said, "I haven't said anything," but he also didn't deny. He also didn't say, "I'm not going."
Yeah,
he said, "I haven't said anything to anybody." So we'll see. Like I said, I think they're going to wait, and so after this, they may announce. And it obviously can't be Xander because he's in there. And I think Patrick is in there as well, right? So they may have to do some of the ones that aren't there, like Thomas Peters. And I can't remember who else was in that talks, but of the seven. Right now I'm drawing a blank, but they'll have to, I think they'll release a couple, maybe right over the hero. Yeah. Challenge, just, you know, because Tigers would have been so outspoken. I don't think they care if they take some steam away or make those guys over there talk about it a little bit when they're playing in it. So we will see.
Yep.
It's fixing to be an interesting offseason, I believe.
Oh, I'm excited for the Hero. That's probably the best looking tournament that gives you a lot of opportunity to actually watch the golfers golf. And
yeah. I mean, you'll get to watch some golf because the DP, I think they're doing they're playing in Australia and then one other place that's, I think their next one is Australia, if I remember right from what I was just looking on their website when we were talking about the John Rahm win, because they give you the next up. But I think they're playing in Australia and then South Africa. Yeah, the Australian PGA Championship. Australian PGA Championship in Brisbane, Australia. So some good golf, because it'll be at a decent golf course. And so we'll see how many of the guys are actually there. Probably won't be a ton, just because they don't get a ton over there, unfortunately, because the golf courses are awesome. Adam Scott's playing. Ooh, Cam Smith, baby. Yeah, like it a lot. So that one will be a good one to watch, just because I think Australian golf is pretty solid.
Yep.
So I'll be watching, and it'll be like crazy. I'll watch it when I can, because it's times are being really early with it being over in Australia. So that one will be one to watch before the Hero. But yeah, it's just like I said, between now and then, it'll just be a few golf tournaments here and there, and then just other news that comes out. So, well, everyone, I think that's it. So thanks for listening. And until next time, we are out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.